Concerns arose in 1902 as soon as John Kellogg suggested selling the Living Temple to fund the rebuilding of the Battle Creek Sanitarium. A committee of four was appointed to investigate the manuscript and report on it at the 1902 Autumn Council. In an unusual move, the small committee produced two reports.
Well, Elder Spicer, I see that three of the committee members find the Living Temple wholly acceptable and appropriate.
But look who signed that report, Elder Daniels. Dr. Kellogg himself and two of his supporters, Elder A.T. Jones and Dr. David Paulson.
That's true. I confess I find myself in agreement with Elder Prescott's minority report. He says he regards the matter as leading to harm, and he hopes the book will never be published.
I read the manuscript, too, and discussed it with Dr. Kellogg. He contradicts the Bible teaching of heaven as a separate place and of God as an individual. I pray the General Conference Committee agrees with Elder Prescott's report.
The committee did reject the book, so John promptly made arrangements with the review to publish it privately. For years, Ellen White had reproved the publishing house for such practices as underpayment of authors and personnel, harshness and greed on the part of the managers, and the printing of secular and even unsavory literature. At quitting time, on December 30th, 1902, the lead plates for John's book stood ready for the press. Most of the employees had left the building.
I smell smoke, do you?
Yes, I believe I do.
Can't be. Then that watchman just made his rounds through the engine room.
It is, though. I see it over there in the corner.
The lights went out!
Fire!
Get up! Get up!
I can't breathe!
I can't breathe!
Fortunately, everyone got out safely. With the book plates destroyed, church leaders hoped John would give up his attempt to publish the Living Temple, but he sent the book to a commercial printer. He also stepped up criticism of Ellen White. These matters were not discussed at the 1903 General Conference in Oakland, California, but other topics arose which John opposed. Ellen spoke to the delegates.
There are proper ways to help the sanitarium in Battle Creek. I wish that a portion of the work at this institution had been taken elsewhere, but the sanitarium has been erected in Battle Creek and must be helped. God will institute ways and means, but he does not wish his people to invest their money in bonds, to tie up money that may be needed elsewhere.
The motion is to place all denominationally operated institutions under direct ownership of the people. Either the General Conference, Union Conference, State Conference, or Organized Mission Field. We have had extended discussion on this matter. Is there any other comment before we vote? Dr. Kellogg?
I tell you here and now, Brother Daniels, that I do not expect to be bound by this resolution in anything I do. The thought of sanitariums being controlled by people who don't live in harmony with all the principles taught by those institutions is intolerable.
Ownership does not necessarily mean control, Dr. Kellogg.
Ownership always means control. And if you say it doesn't, you don't know what you're talking about.
Those in favor of denominational ownership?
Aye.
Aye.
It is carried. Now, the next resolution calls for the General Conference headquarters and the review to be relocated. I will ask Sister White to comment.
For years, the warning has been given to our people, get out of Battle Creek. Let the General Conference offices and the publishing work be moved from Battle Creek. God has a better place for it.
Sister White, the General Conference session is over, and you didn't say a word to bring Dr. Kellogg to task. In fact, you said God has given him his success at the sanitarium.
That's true.
But why?
I was instructed to try to lead people's minds away from difficulties. If I had spoken in open conference of Dr. Kellogg's dangers, some would have made unwise use of my statements. After all, our purpose is not to drive him away, but to save him.
Soon after this session, John confessed his mistakes, and he and Arthur Daniels announced that they had settled all their differences. Within a few weeks, however, the two sides were again bitterly opposed. At the Fall Council in October 1903, peace seemed once more to reign. But again, the reconciliation was only temporary. In 1904, when the Russo-Japanese War broke out, a different kind of war was being waged between the Kellogg and Daniels factions in the Adventist Church. During the Lake Union Conference session in Berrien Springs, Michigan, in May, Ellen White led the third and final attempt to resolve the situation.
My sympathy goes to Dr. Kellogg, who has loaded himself down with labors until the enemy has found him easy prey. I have lain awake night after night studying how I could help Dr. Kellogg. I have spent nearly whole nights in prayer. My brethren, the Lord calls for unity, for oneness. When the gospel ministers and the medical missionary workers are not united, there is placed on our churches the worst evil. It is time that we stood upon a united platform.
I confess I have had an attitude of fault-finding and dissension. I ask the forgiveness of any whom I have offended. Brother McGann, Brother Sutherland, Brother Kellogg.
Brother Prescott, you have shown the true Christian spirit. Some of Dr. Kellogg's supporters have also confessed and have reached out for peace and harmony. It is time for all to reach out their hands and make peace. Brother Kellogg, will you not do as much?
These confessions we've heard are a mere form intended to meet the emergency. Elder Prescott has made a public statement of failures. But I have not. I have no need to.
Ellen White reproved John for gloating and rebuked the supporters who encouraged his unyielding attitude. Toward the end of the session, John stood at the back of the room as Ellen pleaded for unity.
Dr. Kellogg, I appeal to you to submit to God. Your mother, before she died, made me promise to see her boys into the kingdom.
Look, Dr. Kellogg, your brother Will is strongly affected by Sister White's words. He's weeping.
I'd better check my watch. I don't want to miss my train back to Battle Creek.
God wants us to stand together. Yield. Give him your heart. Now.
Doesn't her appeal touch you at all, Dr. Kellogg?
I must go. Good day, Dr. Paulson.
Ellen said later that John would have been saved for the cause if only his supporters at this time had encouraged him to humble himself. John considered the Berrien Springs meeting a victory until he discovered that the opposition would no longer pay the debts of the sanitarium and the Medical Missionary and Benevolent Association. He retaliated by arranging for the MMBA to go into bankruptcy. Back in 1903, John's plans to revive Battle Creek College had been stopped when Ellen White testified against the idea. But in 1905, with the help of A.T. Jones, he reopened the school under his own direction.
This is more than just a college, Sister Yardley. It's a university. Your son may choose his studies from all sorts of professional, scientific, literary, biblical, and technical courses. He'll be able to meet expenses by working at the sanitarium.
It sounds very good, Dr. Kellogg, but I'm just not sure. Sister White has written so forcefully against reopening the college.
Your mind at rest, sister. It's impossible to rely on the so-called testimonies of Sister White. Too many of them are actually written by her son Willie and other helpers and sent out under her name.
Why, I had no idea. In that case, of course I'll send my son here.
By December of 1905, Ellen wrote sorrowfully to A.G. Daniels and W.W. Prescott.
I have lost all hope of Dr. Kellogg. He is, I believe, past the day of his reprieve. I am instructed not to write to him.
John later would confide to a friend that he had insisted on keeping the sanitarium under his own control because he had expected for years to be separated from the church. The actual break took place November 10th, 1907. M.N. Campbell, pastor of the Battle Creek Tabernacle, read the charges against the doctor. Pantheism was not mentioned.
Dr. Kellogg has not attended services for a number of years. He has failed to pay a tithe or to contribute to the expenses of the church in any way. He has demonstrated his antagonism to the gifts now manifest in the church, and he has allied with those who are attempting to overthrow the work for which this church exists.
The charitable work John loved was sharply curtailed by his separation from the church. He was often deeply in debt and embroiled in numerous lawsuits, the most acrimonious being those against his brother Will over the cereal industry. The death of this complex man on December 14, 1943, brought tributes from prominent people throughout the world. The sanitarium building was sold to the U.S. government in 1942 and became the Percy Jones Army Hospital. Although the building was gone, the Battle Creek Sanitarium Corporation was returned to the Seventh-day Adventist Church in 1957.